I think it was quite similar to the other of England's World Cup games. I think a decent first half, a bit sloppy in the second half, but the main thing is they're through to the semi-finals, and that's an achievement.
It seems like there were far too many errors for many people to be happy about this England performance, though.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. I think when they lost Kevin Brown, I'm not using an excuse, but with Josh Hodgson at standoff, they really lost a lot of structure and fluidity. And it seems to be a theme with England at this World Cup. Simple errors are creeping in. They're still getting the wins, but like, I'm against Tonga or Australia in the next two games, and that won't be good enough.
Yeah, Tonga looking absolutely on fire in the tournament, and of course Australia, the opening day defeat to them. So definitely two tough tasks coming up for England if they manage to get through, of course, the semi-final against Tonga. But Tonga, we know about their strong contingent that they've got of fans. How intimidating will it be for England?
I think it'll be very intimidating. I mean, you look at the games that Tonga's played in New Zealand so far, they've had massive support, all with the red flags waving. I think it'll be a very pro Tongan crowd at Mount Smart Stadium. You know, might only be 1,000 or so English fans. It's hard to tell, you know, but it'll be purely Tongan. The whole of South Auckland will come out. There's a very strong Tongan population there. And, you know, it's arguably Tonga's biggest moment in sport ever, getting to this stage. So it's going to be hard for them. And they are going to have to lift their game. And it might be without Kevin Brown, because he obviously had that concussion. And he's had a long history of concussion. So he's in severe doubt for next weekend.
Yeah, which is a real shame, because he's come under criticism for the season he's had with Warrington, but he's done pretty well with the England halfback partnership, hasn't he?
He has, definitely. I was one of those people who was questioning selection, I admit, because he was, you know, not very good for Warrington this season, apart from the World Cup Series game against the Broncos. But every time he pulls on an England shirt, he seems to grow another leg. And Luke Gale as well just seems... the partnership between the two of them is the best partnership. Luke Gale seems a lot freer and happier with Kevin Brown alongside him. They seem to work really well. And I think Widdop at fullback has also looked good in the last two games. So if Brown is out, which, you know, if you're a betting man, you would say he is, you'd think George Williams comes in there. And obviously we know George Williams is a great player, very attacking, you know, great ball runner. But he's a very different style player. And it's really that halves partnership, that England needs to flow. And Luke Gale is a confidence player. He seems to have that confidence when Kevin Brown's beside him, but with the other players, maybe he doesn't. So it is definitely a concern.
Yeah, it is a concern, and we'll keep an eye on that and keep you up to date with it. Make sure you're following at RL on RY to keep up with the latest on that. One man we haven't really spoken about who's had a whirlwind sort of tour of the World Cup at the moment, and you were talking about, for instance, Kevin Brown and Luke Gale seeming to get that extra buzz from England, the England shirt. Jermaine McGilvery is absolutely on fire at the moment.
He is. You could probably... I might be a bit biased doing all of England games, but I think you could arguably call him the star of this World Cup. I mean, yeah, he has had a whirlwind or a roller coaster with the biting allegation, which thankfully he was cleared from. But I think it's 6 tries now in the World Cup from 4 games, 2 doubles. He set up 2 tries today for Callum Wilkins. He's just... he's been phenomenal. I think the rest of the world, and those who don't follow Super League in the NRL and in Australia and New Zealand, have really sort of, you know, opened their eyes just to how good a player he is and how good maybe he could be in the future, because his defence, the way he runs the ball, the way he finishes, he's been great. He's not the biggest winger in the world of rugby league, but geez, he's one of the most damaging at the moment. So his displays have definitely given England a big shot in the arm.
Yeah. Coming on to Papua New Guinea, Gary Lowe coming for the Castleford Tigers, managed to get on the score sheet today, the one try that Papua New Guinea got on the board. I mean, this is a side that have scored, 21 tries in their past 3 games. So England hopefully will take some positives out of that. Defensively, you'd think, John?
Yeah, I think the defence was definitely improved today. I mean, PNG dropped a lot of ball. They shot themselves in the foot quite a bit of time, but they hit hard in defence and they run the ball hard, and England, you know, really lifted for that physical battle, and I think they did quite well. Obviously, Tonga are going to be another physical side when you look at the size of their forwards and their backs. From 1 to 17, they're all big boys. So England's defence was definitely an improvement, and that's what they're going to have to be against Tonga. They're going to have to really lift for, you know, to stop them around the ruck area, stop those people like Tamalolo and Fifita, who are, you know, arguably the best prop and the best back row in the world on their day.
It's now down to 4. Do you think we've got the top 4 sides in World Rugby?
That's a really good question, because I think if you look on paper, I'd still think New Zealand deserve to be in there. But geez, they've had a terrible World Cup, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, the game against Fiji. It's great to see Fiji in. I mean, they've made third World Cup semi-final in a row, so you can't dismiss them. But I think it's great to see different teams in there. Obviously, England made the semi-final 4 years ago, but Tonga have been the story of this World Cup. So maybe their story isn't over. I really can't see Fiji beating Australia. Just I was in Darwin on Friday night, and the way Australia played, admittedly against the poor Samoan side, they just they dominated them very easily. And you know, while they've sort of been rusty at times, they've still never really been tested. And I think they've improved a lot since that first game against England. So they're still the team to beat. And I believe whoever wins out of Tonga and England will face Australia in Brisbane, which is a fairly daunting prospect.
Yeah, definitely. I'm keen to see who does match sort of Australia and if anyone can. And we thought it might be New Zealand at the beginning of the tournament, but coming back to one of the first quarterfinals, obviously, a no-try affair, but still a thrilling game, it seemed.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable game. I think it was the first tryless World Cup game ever. Second, I've just been corrected. A 4-2 scoreline more common with rugby union or football. But a really tough game, and one that Fiji dominated, particularly in the first half. It was very tense. There was sort of no quarter given, but I think Fiji deserved to go through, and you really have to wonder what's going on with New Zealand Rugby League. We've still got, so many talented players, but I'm not sure what the latest is with David Kidwell, but you think surely he'd be resigning after his, very poor year in charge.
Mm. And, of course, like we say, England taking on Tonga. So it's making for a thrilling semi-final. Of course, we've got Australia going to be taking on Fiji, England versus Tonga. Australia, obviously, we know, we think that's going to be safe through. And if England do manage to beat Tonga, who have been so, impressive in this tournament, you'd be thinking maybe they can go one better, because all you've got to do is perform 10 out of 10 in one game.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if Australia have an off game or, maybe pick up some injuries against Fiji, it's definitely improvement in this England team. I don't think they're sitting their best. But you never know what can happen in a one-off game. They've got to get to the final first. I think they will beat Tonga. I think still on paper, England have the better team, particularly in the halves. There's probably a little more structure and class to see it out. But Tonga are on one of those runs, aren't they? It's kind of like a Greece in Euro 2004, there's something about them that thinks maybe they can go all the way. So whoever wins that semi-final, obviously we hope it's England. It'll be first World Cup final in 23 years, I think, 22 years. And if Tonga are through the final, I mean, wouldn't that be amazing as well? So I think we're in for some huge games to finish this World Cup.
Either way, it looks like international rugby is going to be getting quite the sort of affair that it needs to have and it deserves to have. I'm going to ask you, John, Gary Schofield, how much trouble is he causing in the land of Oz?
Well, I haven't seen him a lot this week. In Perth, he was wearing those hideous singlet and England football shorts. I don't know if he was showering. He didn't seem to be washing it every day, but he was reasonably well-dressed today. He was there with his wife and with Brett Kenny, so copped a photo of him, I think, which you guys have tweeted. But I think he would have been reasonably happy. You know what Scoey's like. He's never that happy. But I think he tipped a PNG, England win by 40 points over PNG. So it was 30, not 40, but some good signs. But, yeah, no, I'm catching up with him in Auckland next week, and I'm sure he'll be in full voice as he always is. I think he's having a great time out here and hopefully keeping the fashion choices to better taste in terms of those.
Well, there's one thing I just want to remind you, John, though, and it was on the first episode of The Last Tackle that happened this year. He said if, because he's that confident that England would not win the World Cup, he would do the naked run out of Suncorp.
Oh, God.
So I want you to absolutely make sure that if you do speak to him, to remind him of that.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned. There's been a bit of talk about a naked run between him and Dave Woods of the BBC.
Oh, poor Dave.
A, I think Dave would win easily. B, I don't think anyone wants to see either of them naked, even even Julie Stott, Dave's wife. So that would really be a crime against humanity. So let's just pray that that doesn't happen. But, you know, let's see England through to the World Cup final first. I think that would be a fantastic achievement. Obviously, Sam Burgess made a return. He was fairly quiet, but, you know, first came back from a couple of weeks out of injury. So there's a plus there for England. And if Kevin Brown is fit to play, you know, that could be... They seem to have had a bit of structure today with Widdop at fullback and Brown going on the halves. So let's hope that's the case.
Definitely. Listen, John, thank you so much for taking out the time. I don't know what time it is over there, but thank you so much. And we'll speak to you again soon on Radio Yorkshire.
No problem at all. Good to chat to you.